I'm so glad to join with you again for Central Moments, this moment around God's Word and prayer. We are walking through the Ten Commandments. We've looked at the first five so far this week, and we're going to look at the last five all today, believe it or not, because they all carry the same theme. Jesus said there's two great commandments. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And really, the first four commandments, including Sabbath keeping, were ways of loving and honoring God. And then from yesterday, obeying your mother and father, to today, these next five, they describe what it is to love your neighbor as yourself. So the two great commandments, love God, first half of the Ten Commandments, and love your neighbor, the second half of the Ten Commandments. But even beyond that, these are the prescriptions for living a healthy life. You violate these commandments, and there's going to be incredible loss in your lives. We're seeing it in culture. We're seeing as culture turns their back on Christ, and immorality fills our land. Marriages can't stay together. There's violence in our streets. There's drug addiction. I mean, all of these things happen because we have left the commands of God. I'm struck especially as I look at the last five of the Ten Commandments, how protective they are to the human condition. For instance, the sixth commandment is in verse 13 of Exodus 20. You shall not murder. That's the protection of life, whether that be life in the womb or life outside the womb. You don't take life. You protect life if you're walking in God's order for the human family. And verse 14, the next commandment, you shall not commit adultery. That's protecting your marriage. That's protecting relationships. There's very few pains in the human heart that are worse than the pain of having a spouse that's betrayed you sexually and been unfaithful to you. And so don't commit adultery. Sexual purity is part of the way we protect the human condition in general and the human and the godly institution of marriage in particular. And then do not steal. This is the protection of private property. The former economist Alan Greenspan says the one key globally throughout history that has allowed nations to prosper and build wealth has been the protection of property rights. God had this like well over 3,500 years ago in the Ten Commandments. You don't steal. You don't just say because it's there, it's mine as much as it's somebody else's. No, you respect that some property belongs, that there's private ownership of property. And you don't assume something that someone else has automatically belongs to you, so you just take it. Or verse 16, the next commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This is protecting people's reputations and their safety. You don't go to a court of law and you don't lie about your neighbor and get them in trouble and slander their reputation. You don't lie, period. And so this is protecting integrity, it's protecting reputation, protecting your integrity and your reputation, and in protecting the integrity and safety and reputation of other people. And then the 10th commandment in verse 17, some people feel like this commandment sort of wraps up the previous four. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now notice coveting is a heart attitude. It's not an external behavior like murder or lying or adultery, but it's what sets us up to do those other things. If in your heart you're not living contented with what you have and you're just preoccupied with what other people have that you don't have, this is what's going to set you up to violate life instead of protecting it, to violate other people's property rights instead of protecting them, to violate the marriage covenant instead of protecting it. And so coveting kind of hits right to the heart. Of all the Ten Commandments, it gets right to the heart here of what's really going on. Jesus wants to be the Lord of our life. Jesus wants to be the satisfaction for our desires. He wants to come and be the one who gives us his resurrection spirit. And I tell you, when you have his resurrection spirit, you're not just feeling discontent all the time, like, oh, I wish I had more money, or I wish I had a bigger house like my neighbor. I mean, you don't even live in that ball field anymore. You don't play that game anymore because you belong to the kingdom of God. You belong to the King of Kings. You have his resurrection spirit in you. You have the authority of Jesus' name you take with you into life. You're covered and forgiven by the blood of Jesus. You belong to him. You hold this world loosely. And you love your neighbor as you do yourself. You love your neighbor, in other words, who is like you. And you do to others what you'd want to have done to you. That's what the resurrection spirit of Jesus does. So, Father, here we are. We think of all the people, all the relationships in our lives. Help us, oh God, to truly love our neighbor. Help us not to take life. Help us not to violate marriage covenant. Help us not to take property that doesn't belong to us. Help us not to lie about other people and destroy their reputation. And touch our hearts that covetousness, Lord, will just be nailed, Lord, just as it was nailed to the cross when Jesus died for us. Lord, we by faith declare that covetousness crucified. And by Jesus' resurrection spirit, we by faith receive your spirit to live with new hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.